Hello, loves. Thanks so much for listening. This is Tracy Sue, and this is What Would Tracy Sue Do? Where we're asking better questions about things that matter. I am coming to you from Sue Studios, which is my walk-in closet. And this is because this is how it's going to get done. We find a quiet spot, a quiet time of the day. We hide in the closet, turn on the mic, and let it roll. That's how projects get done. 99% of it is just showing up, right? Okay, so I want to lighten it up a little bit today. I know we've been having some heavy topics with disappointment and anger and hopelessness and how do we operate in the world, but I want to lighten it up a little bit. So we're going to talk about dating. So this won't apply to all of you, but you'll know someone whom it applies to, and hopefully this will help you avoid major issues as you go through any kind of matchmaking dating process. We're calling this one 10 Ways to Hack Dating and Save Yourself from Heartbreak. Now, I always find that I am not going to take, or you should not take advice from someone who is really bad at what they claim to be teaching you. For instance, you know, when I see those ads on Facebook or whatnot, where it's like some, you know, semi-attractive, cocky, arrogant dude trying to tell women why they don't have men. And it's, you know, inevitably because women have needs that should be met in a relationship. But I'm looking at this guy and I'm going, wait a minute, you're not married. Your longest relationship has been 2 years long. What the fuck do you know about why women aren't finding men? Is it possible that women are not finding appropriate men because there's a shortage? I know. Everyone will tell you it's not true. You're just attracting that. But that's bullshit. I have been dating for 7 years since I got a divorce. 7 years. And I'm a fucking excellent date. I really am. Ask any of the men that I've dated. I am an excellent date. I am polite. I will carry a conversation. They will have a good time. Even if I do not like them, I do not walk out on people after one coffee. Like, I see on TV, like, so rude. Like, I am not rude, even if I am not interested. I'm a really good date. People love going on dates with me because I am actually interested in them. And let me tell you why I'm actually interested in them. It's because I am trying to judge whether or not they will be a good partner for me. Okay? And I am constantly talking to friends who are also dating, or they're telling me what went wrong in their previous relationship, or we're just talking about, you know, relationships in general. And I'm astounded to hear that some of the questions that should have come up on a first date didn't come up until the first year of marriage. Like, it is shocking to me that you would marry someone without all of the information that I'm going to encourage you to gather before a first date or on a first date. And this is to save yourself from heartbreak. Right? I mean, oh my goodness, there are so many choices out there. Some of them are going to be great for you, and some of them are going to be great for someone else, and some of them are going to be great for no one on earth. You hear me? Like, not everyone on earth is going to make a good romantic life partner. They just aren't. They're not willing to put the work in. Or they're not willing to be compatible or compromising, or they're just not interested in it. That's fine, right? So my approach here is that whatever you want is fine. If you want one night stands, you should have those. If you want a long-term marriage, you should have that. If you want polyamory, I swear to God, you're thinking far too much of your ability to please and coordinate time with more than one person. Like, to me, that's just like a logistical fantasy to try and compensate for the problems inherent in monogamy. But whatever, if you want to, you know, seek that, you go right ahead and do it. So I'm not encouraging you to get married. I'm not encouraging you to never get married. I'm not encouraging you to make anything look like something specific. What I'm going to tell you is 10 ways that you can hone down, narrow down, filter down to people that might actually be worth pursuing, to relationships that might actually work. And by what I mean by work, it's not whether it ends in marriage. What I mean by work is, where does it go after that? Like, how much compatibility is there? Is there happiness down this road, or is it just heartbreak and drama and anxiety and frustration, right? So I am a very good dater. However, I am divorced. So I'm not going to tell you how to have the best marriage of your life, because I would love for you to tell me how to have the best marriage of my life. I have dated over 100 men, like on a first date, over 100 men in 7 years. And I am not talking about having sex with 100 men. I am talking about a meeting. Like, there are 365 days in a year, and out of 7 of those, I've been on at least 100 meetings of the coffee variety, or dinner, or lunch, or breakfast, or whatever the walk around the park date is. Okay, and I have certain dating rules. Of those 100, I have probably been on maybe 15 second dates, because I found out what I needed to know on the first date. And of those, I have proceeded past that with 2 people whom I shouldn't have. And that's because I didn't follow my dating rules. You hear me? That's because I did not follow these rules. Every time I've ever ended up in trouble, it is because I did not follow these 10 things that are going to make it so much easier to filter through all of the crap and get to the golden nugget of a potential partner, a potential mate, potential happy relationship. I have talked to thousands of men online. I'm sure it's thousands. Just whether they have messaged me on my profile somewhere, or they've approached me on Facebook, or, you know, even personal interactions, which are quite rare these days because men just don't have the balls and they're just too sensitive to handle rejection. So I have a pretty clear, broad picture of what is out there. I write a great profile and I look pretty in pictures. So I get approached by a lot of different kinds of guys. And I've been approached by them for 7 years. And that's a lot of human beings that I have come into contact. So I get it, ladies. This is rough. And dudes, I hear that it's somewhat rough from you, but most of you are saying, nope, it's really rough for the woman too. Like, even men on dates talk about how rough it is for a woman today to be dating. So these rules, however, apply to both men and women. These are not gender specific. Okay, so these are just things you are looking for, a compatible person to meet whatever need or fill whatever role you're trying to fill. And these 10 things will help us get to those very few people quicker with as little heartbreak as possible. So I'm going to start with number 1, know thyself. An unexamined life is not worth living, right? Well, also, if you don't know yourself, you're going to not look for the right things. You're not going to be able to filter people who are going to be inappropriate out. And that is because you don't know who you are or what you're looking for. When I see people going from relationship to relationship to relationship with very little time in between, they're making the biggest mistake. I picture them just throwing themselves off a cliff into another human being. The mistake is, you've just spent a significant amount of time with another human being, compromising every wish, every desire, every brand of salad dressing that you have purchased. If you have been with someone for any length of time, like a marriage, or, you know, a 3 to 5 year long-term commitment, you have been so enmeshed and involved with another human being that you don't even know who you are or what you desire. You have to relearn yourself all over again. So when you come out of a relationship where you've been a we, and now for the first time in a long time, you're becoming a me, you don't know who me is. You don't know who I am, right? You don't know that because you have been adjusting your life around another human being and their needs. And this is like simple stuff, from the brand of toothpaste that you buy, to big stuff, to where you live geographically, to stuff like how you parent and how you keep house and what you do with your evenings and your time. See, when you're in a long-term relationship with someone, you have become a different person than you would be alone. And that's good. You have to do that to make a relationship work, right? you're going to make a relationship work, yeah, you have to talk about what kind of snacks are going to be in the house. And who gets to eat them. And what kind of toothpaste you're going to buy. And what your financial priorities are going to be. And what you're going to do on a Tuesday night, right? So when you go from that relationship where you're the person who is in it, right? The wife of, or the girlfriend of, or the boyfriend of, or the husband of some other person. And then you just become a me. And you jump into the next relationship. And you become the girlfriend of, the wife of, the boyfriend of, the husband of this new person. You don't even know where you're starting from in terms of your own preference and your own desire and your own needs, which is so horrible for the new person, because the new person is getting you like experimenting with who you are based on coming out of this old thing, and they're bringing their own desires and needs to it. And if you're such putty, such Play-Doh, someone who's just gonna, you know, jello mold around them, without taking the time and going to the effort of rediscovering who you are, what you need, how you want to live. It's such a disaster for you and for them. It unnecessarily breaks their heart because now they're dealing with someone who doesn't know themselves. So they can't please you because you have not bothered to figure out how you would like life to go, how you would like to be pleased. You're still reacting from this place that you were in before with another human being. The other thing that knowing yourself does that you just have to have when you're dating is you have to know what you're cool with, what you're not cool with, what you want, what you don't want. Like when I read dating profiles and I see, oh, just gonna see what happens, I'm thinking, no. Like I don't wanna just see what happens. Are you here to get married? Because if I'm here to get married, I don't want to waste my time with you if you're not here to get married. Are you here for a one-night stand? I mean, if you are, great. But I want to know that before I waste time on you if I'm looking for a spouse. So if I don't even know that much about myself, like what am I looking for? Am I open to marriage? Am I open to a long-term relationship? Am I open to monogamy? Do I want to experiment with some other form of relationship? Am I straight? Am I gay? Am I bisexual? Am I willing to be the mistress or the third in a polyamorous relationship? What am I looking for? What do I want? If you do not start on that foot when you are setting out to date or have a life or a career or whatever, what do I want? What am I looking for? If you don't know the answer to that, you're going to create heartbreak for everyone. Because you may be in a position where you're just experimenting with new things or new people or whatever. And some poor person who wants to get married falls in love with you and you're like, no, I'm sorry, I don't want that. That's not very nice, right? It's not very honest when you start dates. It's fine to say, I don't know what I'm looking for and I'm just trying things out. But people should know that going in. So know who you are. What are your deal breakers? What are your must-haves? What does a relationship look like for you? Because you're probably going to get it. I dated this guy. I called him my practice boyfriend. And I literally had said, I want to have a practice boyfriend. Like, I just got out of a divorce. I'm not sure how this is going to go. And I want to see what it feels like with somebody else to sort of have a practice boyfriend without, like, having this, you know, marriage trajectory in front of me. And that's exactly what I got. I got a practice boyfriend and it was awesome and it was amazing. And it was exactly what I needed. Other times I've been where, like, especially right after my divorce, I was like, I don't even think I know what men are about now. I've been with the same person for, you know, 13 years. How do I know what men are up to? I don't know what they're up to or what they're doing or what they're talking about or, you know, which kind of guys there even are now. So I made it a point to date a whole bunch of different kinds of guys. And that was my intention, to meet a whole bunch of different kinds of guys, which would allow me to understand what I wanted more, right? But prior to that, I took an entire year of official divorce. Separation is not a divorce, people. Official divorce, 1 year I took off from anybody just to figure out who I am without being someone's wife or girlfriend. Who am I? And how do I choose to spend my time? Or what do I choose to spend my money on? Or that kind of thing. So know yourself. What are you looking for? What is the relationship structure you're seeking? How much commitment level do you want? How do you want to spend your Tuesday nights? How do you want to spend your weekend nights? Know what you are looking for. Now, I have filters. I have filters that I am aware of that saved me so much heartache, I'm sure, from falling in love with the wrong person. Because before I even meet them, this is the beautiful thing about online dating. Before I even meet someone, I know that this person doesn't want children, that this person doesn't smoke, that this person isn't married. Yeah, didn't see that one coming, right? Yeah, evidently you have to ask that, that this person is into monogamy, that this person doesn't have small children. So either they're grown up or they're non-existent. I'm aware of myself enough to know that I can't date a smoker because then I'll smoke, that I am not having children. And so if they want children, I should not be dating them. I am not dealing with small children. I'm not. And that's okay. Like, that is my right, man. I'm not dealing with small children. I'm not dealing with Trump voters because, you know what? Basically, their entire world view is different than mine. And what do I want to spend my whole entire relationship arguing about world views as if my life is Fox News? I can't think of anything more fucking horrible. Also, if you voted for Trump, you are zero sexually attractive to me. Period. No questions. I don't care who you are or how good looking you are or whatever. If you think that was a good fucking idea, you are not sexy at all. Zero sex appeal. So number one, know thyself. Take the time to figure it out and look into it. Number two, be very judgmental. I mean, very, very, very judgmental. Everyone does not have a fair chance at being your significant other, nor should they. I will actually hear women say, well, I don't want to be unfair. Be unfair. Be as unfair as possible. Be as judgmental as possible. Judgmental means that you are using judgment to determine who is a good life mate and who is not. Be judgmental. This is not like an equal opportunity job to be your partner. This is a person that you are going to invest time and energy in. You're going to open your whole life up to them if you're looking for a long-term relationship. You need to know what they're about and you need to judge. Is this a good fucking idea, right? So that means you should judge the alcoholic as an alcoholic and say, this is not a good fucking idea. You should judge whether that man is paying his child support or he's not. You should judge how a person handles their money. You should judge their sexual orientation. Like, yeah, you should definitely judge that in terms of who you are dating. In terms of how you treat people in life, maybe not. No, it's not nice to judge people. But this isn't what's happening right now. You're looking for a partner. So if I am a straight woman, I should not be dating gay guys. That's not being judgmental in a bad way. That's judgmental in a good way. That's using good judgment. If he's gay and I'm straight, neither one of us are ever going to get what we want. And that may sound like an extreme example, but there are religions who promote this kind of partnership as if God would prefer that than the gay guy dating a gay guy. No, that's just everybody is miserable. You be as judgmental as possible when you meet this person. If they can get past all of your judgmental rejections, then they actually might make a good partner. Homelessness? I actually dated a guy who was homeless. And when I found out I was homeless, I was like, fuck that. I am not dating a homeless dude. No way. Because I'm not going to take care of a grown ass man. I have two kids to take care of. Be as judgmental as possible on these dates. Good judgment is what saves you from heartbreak. You are not being mean. You're not being unfair. You're giving yourself the best shot at a good, healthy, compatible relationship. Not everyone is your perfect match, and not everyone should get a shot at your vagina. This is not an equal opportunity vagina. Be judgmental about who gets to play there. Maybe I took it too far there. All right. Number three, people should have what they want. You know, I see this a lot, and it's generally with a divorced woman and a younger guy who doesn't have kids. I've seen this situation numerous times where the woman is divorced. She's had kids. She doesn't want more kids, but she meets this guy who's 10 years younger than she is or whatever, and he's never been married, and he wants just one kid, or he's going to give it up, right? So now the choice is, oh, does he give up the kid, or do my kids become his kids, or do I have another kid? I've never once seen it happen where people are happy when they have that other kid. Like, shit gets weird between the two separate families, and they are two separate families. Those marriages generally end in divorce, and now she's got two baby daddies that she has to finagle parenting time and money out of. This is not ideal. Like, one of my rules is everyone should have what they want. Before a first date is over, you should know what that is for a person. Do you want children? Is a first date question. I don't date men who want children because they should have children. I can't give them children. I'm not going to give them children. They should have that if that's what they want, which means they shouldn't be creating a relationship with me because that's not a possibility here. Now, if they don't have children and they don't want children, great. Or if they don't want children and they already have children, great. Then those are people that I should be dating. But everyone should have what they want. If you're looking for someone who is in a first marriage and you want like that whole new family thing, right? To create a family from marriage to kids and buy a house and whatever, then I'm not your gal. I'm not your gal. Like, I'm not doing that with you. And it's not an age thing. That is not an age thing. That is a chapter of life thing, right? So at this point when I'm dating, what I'm looking at is not how old are you, but what chapter of life are you in? You know, I'm 45. So the men that I'm dating could be anywhere from, you know, 35 to let's say 55, okay? So, but if that 35-year-old already has teenagers, which is possible, then yeah, okay, I might date a 35-year-old. But if he's 35, he's never had kids, and he's still looking for his first family, no, I'm not going to date that guy. Also, 55-year-old, either he's had kids or he hasn't. If he's been at all proactive, that choice has been made by the time I get there. So then it's just determining whether that choice is compatible, right? I come with kids. If people don't want kids around, I am not their gal. I am not the girl they should be spending time with. I am not the girl they should be dating. Because I have kids and it's a package deal, man. I have two teenagers. They're going to be in my life. People should get what they want. If there is something fundamental there, like just fundamental, like if one of the partners wants to get married and the other one doesn't, just stop the heartache in its track right there. The one who wants to get married is going to have such a devastated heartbreak when no marriage evolves out of your relationship that it's unkind to continue to date them. Even if they say, oh yeah, I know, I get it. Like, it's be kind. I didn't even put that on my list, but be kind. The truth is kind. People should have what they want. Don't take it from them. And don't expect them to be able to give you what they don't have. Number four, believe yourself. Believe yourself. Believe your senses. Believe your ears. Believe your heart. Believe your tingles. Believe your tingles. Believe your smelling of the pheromones. Right? Believe what the other person is telling you and what your body is telling you, right? People will tell you the truth about themselves, and we save ourselves a whole lot of heartbreak when we believe them. And I don't mean believe what they say. I mean believe what you see them do. Believe what actions they take, right? So if a man constantly talks about, oh, I've had this one before. I am so committed once I'm committed. I'm a great partner once I'm committed, as sort of a weird excuse for being a really lazy partner pre-commitment. No, man, what you're doing is telling me that you're lazy in a relationship and then promising to be someone else when we take the relationship up another rack. Now what, I'm going to be married to someone who turns out he's just lazy in a relationship? No, thank you. No, I don't have time for that. You want to fight about money? Date a guy who doesn't pick up the check. You spend the rest of your relationship fighting with that stingy, non-generous dude. He'll tell you exactly who he is. And she will, too. She orders 20 things off the menu on a first date? Yeah, hello, that's a sign. Dating is very cool in a certain way because it really shows you what people are about. I once had a guy who every single date invite came with like these vigorous physical outdoor activities. And I mean, like, it was to the point where he was planning one day and he was like, okay, first let's go running for 5 miles and then we'll go to this outdoor eating whatever place. And then after that, we'll go to this dance thing. And then after that, we'll go walk around the lake. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is this? Like a marathon? No. And that was all of his date ideas. Immediately, compatibility became an issue because I don't have that kind of energy. I mean, I work out, but I'm not trying to be physical every waking second of my day. Like, no, believe him. If he tells you that he is spending all weekend, every weekend, all winter long skiing, and you're not a skier, believe what your body says about that. No. Pheromones are interesting. This is the big, huge drawback about online dating. Big, huge drawback is that you can't smell the other person. And pheromones are, if you don't know, they're biological, right? We come with these hormones called pheromones, and we're either attracted to them or we're not, right? Chemistry is real. Hormones protect us basically from mating with people we are not supposed to be mating with, whether it's compatibility in terms of genetics or relationship or disease. Like, we are turned on by certain people because of the way they smell, not the way that they look. We are turned on by people because of the way they smell. We are turned off because of the way that people smell. And I'm not talking about body odor. I'm talking about the essence of someone's hormones that are inhaled and we smell them. And either they're exciting to us and give us the little tingle, or they're not and make us kind of go, ugh. Right? I know you've experienced this where you've met someone, you thought that guy is really attractive or that woman is really beautiful. And then you get close enough to even shake a hand or a hug or just to smell them. And you're like, ugh. And then you question yourself, why do I feel like this? This person looks great on paper. I like everything about them. Why do I feel like this? Okay, you feel like that because genetically you're not a match and there's nothing you can do to fix that. One of my very recent, several years ago, but during the last 7 years, I've dated two guys significantly. Anyway, I just got lost there to decide whether I should count the third guy or not. But anyway, this one guy, he smelled bad to me. Like, he smelled swarmy. And I just could not, like, his scent just kind of made my stomach glug. Like, I was just kind of grossed out by him. And he was a terrible kisser. Like, usually when you kiss someone, the hormones in his saliva meet the hormones in your saliva, and it should create like an excitement. And mostly I was just like, gross, his saliva. Ugh, I'm touching his tongue. Ugh. Right? And I dated this guy for like 6 months without having sex with him at all because on paper he looked so good. Right? On paper he looked so good. And he was doing all the right things and saying all the right things, and he checked all the boxes, right? All the boxes. And oh my gosh, I have pages in my journal where I wrote, what is wrong with me? Why can't I get into this guy? Why can't I be in love with him? Flash forward, wasted 2 years. He was a narcissist who was cheating and had cheated on every single woman that he had ever dated, and lying, and just, yeah, swarmy. Like, just kind of, ugh, swarmy. So everyone was telling me, oh, you can train a guy to kiss. No, you can't. Maybe we'll do a whole episode on how kissing is done to not be repulsively disgusting. I think I should do an episode on that because there, so many of you are kissing so badly. So, so, so badly. Men and women. There is a way to kiss and then there is a way to never kiss, ever. And like every time we would have physical contact, I would be like repulsed. Oh my God. And he was hairy like a bear. And I felt bad the whole time because why couldn't I get it together? and be in love with the right guy. He wasn't the right guy. He was a liar. And I was smelling that. Like, I was smelling his deceit, his lyingness. He was getting off on it, too. His ego was all wrapped up into lying to women and communicated with by all these extra women. Like, he was a gross person, and I was picking up on that and smelling it. And had I just instantly said, yep, I don't care what you're doing on the outside, I'm out because of this smell that I'm sensing, I would have saved myself 2 years of heartbreak. Two years of heartbreak. I would have saved all that drama, all that nonsense. I would have saved all of it if I had just believed my senses, my body, over his outside appearance telling me he's one thing when I knew he was another. When I knew he was another. Because all of his behavior said one thing. His voice, his mouth said one thing. But he was really another, and my body knew. Listen to your bodies when you're dating. Does your body respond to this person in a way that you want your body to respond? Right? I've had other relationships. Funny, I just realized this. Physically, the other relationship that I've been in, my body was like, neither of our bodies were responding well to each other in a pH kind of way, right? Just our chemistries. We were turned on by each other, but our chemistries were not meshing well in the bedroom, you know, and we were having issues like yeast infections and that kind of thing. Like, it just was not awesome, right? So tune into your body. It's not just about attractiveness, right? The other day I was like, oh, this guy is great. He's spiritual and he's a business owner and he's really attractive and he's really nice and kind guy. And I took one whiff of him. One whiff. Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. Nope, 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 nope. For no other reason. My pheromones don't match with his. So pay attention. Which takes us to the next one. Love is not all you need. It is not. Pheromones are fantastic for the beginning of a relationship and the continuation of a relationship and knowing whether you're just fundamentally matched or not fundamentally matched, right? But they do not prove compatibility. You cannot prove compatibility with pheromones because the kind of compatibility I'm talking about is how you want to live, right? Love is not all you need. Love is the bare minimum that you need. Love is fun, especially that honeymoon period when you're all like on love crack and you're all doped up and you're like, yeah, oh my God, this person's amazing. Scientifically, this lasts 18 months, 3 years max, right? This high, like you're literally high. It's like you're doing crack. You're literally high and it feels really good. But when that wears off, and it does, because that's science, it's physiology. When that wears off, you have to be actually compatible in terms of the way you want to live for the relationship to move forward, for the relationship to stay intact, for it to be fruitful for you or the other person. You have to have like a compatibility, a basic compatibility, because pheromones will not get a marriage all the way to the, 60-year point. And what I mean by basic compatibility is like, okay, do you have the same financial priorities and the same view for how money should be handled if you're sharing a household? Because if you're sharing a household, that's going to come up. And if you have two very, very different ways of dealing with that, that's going to be a fucking problem. That's my issue with men who don't pay for dates. If you won't pay for a first date, then I am just looking at you and thinking, I'm going to end up fighting with you over money for the rest of my life because you are not a generous person and I am a generous person. And so I will always get shortchanged here. If a man pays for a date graciously and kindly and like he enjoys it, I think, okay, well, all right, this man is generous. He has the means to pay for a date. I swear to God, this one guy I went out with, we went to a dollar movie and he had me pay for the date. And I looked at him and I thought, I am a single mother of two children and I have never not had $3 to pay for the movies. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Immediately, I never saw that guy again. And guess what? Yeah, his woman paid for him for the next 4 fucking years. That's his pattern. You can tell a lot by a person about how they handle money on a first date. I'm looking for someone generous who wants to take me out, not someone who's going to resent every time we go out to dinner. I've dated that guy. I've been married to people. Yeah, I know. Money's going to be a big fucking deal, so you need to know what's going on with that person's money. Now, on a first date, do you need to know everything in their background? No. But, you know, some things could come up in conversation, like, you know, what they do for a living and, you know, how much debt they have even. Like, there are things I will ask on a first date in a very subtle way. I'll know what their financial priorities are just by asking about their history. You know, what are they trying to do? What's their goal? Are they traveling a lot? Do they own a home? Are they, you know, are they spending a lot of money on booze and alcohol and partying? Are they paying for their kids to go to college? These are clues you can find out on a first date that will give you a lot of information about how you do or do not want to live compatibly. Drug and alcohol use is a big issue. Find that out on a first date, man. Like, do it. Once I dated a guy I was so hot for, I was so in love with him, I thought we were soulmates, and he ordered a vodka tonic at, you know, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, oh, ding, 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 there's a sign. Ha, huh. Okay. Check. So noted. So noted. Number 6. Mistakes from the past tend to repeat if we do not learn from them. So be aware of what mistakes that you have made in the past in order to learn from them. Where did you go wrong? How did you choose wrong? Do like a post-date assessment with yourself. Do a post-marriage assessment. Big time. Do a post-relationship assessment. Figure some things out for yourself. Like, oh, okay, what are my patterns here? See, I know my patterns. My patterns are to find a man who has potential, probably an alcohol problem or a drinking problem or some fundamental wound, just a fundamental wound, and then help him heal that wound by expending all of myself and my resources and my heart and my soul and my time and my energy and my money into his healing. Then he will become a perfect partner and reciprocate to me because he has this gratitude that I have helped him so much. Yeah, no, it never, ever, ever has worked out that way. Ever. No. Like, I know that there's like an emotional thing, like a thing that happens in my body based on this pattern that is a warning sign. And it's not the same thing as attraction. And it's not the same thing as love. It's the same thing as, oh, 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 let me help you. Let me help you. I can help you. And that feeling of let me help you is basically saying, oh, look, I've found someone who's got a fundamental flaw that I want to heal, not someone who's going to make a great marriage partner for me down the road, not someone who's going to bring me joy by taking care of me, but someone who's going to suck my joy like he does a beer, right? So know your own pattern. Maybe you have a different kind of pattern. I don't know what your pattern is, but you probably have one. If you're single and you haven't found the perfect person to be with, look at the past relationships that you've had and go, oh, what do those have in common? And start writing down commonalities. Like, you maybe don't have a type. I don't have a type of guy that I like necessarily, but I definitely have a pattern. Definitely have a pattern. Now, my pattern then becomes my Achilles heel. And if I look at something and go, nope, that's just my pattern, I can move on without heartbreak, without all that heartbreak. See, when you know yourself and your pattern and what you're looking for well enough, you know who to walk away from before you get too deep, before you find yourself 5 years into the marriage sobbing because here you are again and how did you get here? Oh, right, it's that pattern. Sobbing because, oh my God, he's never gonna change. Oh, right. Because he's an alcoholic and he has to want that change. You're the next ex. You are the next ex. That's number 7. On the first date, or prior to the first date even, during your first communication, how does this person treat their ex? How do they talk about their ex? How are they parenting with their ex? See, there are people who are demon makers. And I'm not talking about just guys here. I'm talking about girls too. The other person, it was always their problem. They were the one. They were the asshole. They were the one who wouldn't do it, right? Sometimes that's true, except for there's always that pattern, right? So even if every guy I have dated has been a drug addict and an alcoholic, my pattern is that that's who I date or that's who I marry. So that's a good thing to know, right? So yeah, in my pattern, I want to find out how many drugs and how often this guy drinks because it's my pattern. So maybe when somebody says socially drinks to you, it doesn't trigger anything because that's not your pattern. But I pay particular attention to that when I'm dating because it is my pattern. It's my family pattern and it's my personal dating pattern. Like sometimes I've even wished for someone who's in recovery because my pattern is so deep. To partner with an alcoholic is such a deeply ingrained pattern in me that I have literally written down that I want to date someone who's in recovery. Because at least then the pattern moves forward. Like it has felt impossible to me to the point where it couldn't even happen that there would be no addiction issues involved because the pattern runs that deep in my family system and it runs that deep in my personal family history and my personal relationship history. So to actually have someone who was aware of their own addiction and was actively taking responsibility for that has felt like a real move forward. I would rather meet someone at an AA meeting than at a bar. Because at least then they're aware of their problem. You are the next ex. If your date is telling you all about how horrible their ex was and they abandoned their children because their ex sucked ass, you're the next ex. And he's going to treat you just the same. Just like that. If there's a whole bunch of, you know, like law enforcement involved in their relationship with their ex, I call them demon makers, right? Where they'll tell you all about their ex as if their ex is like the biggest, worst sociopath, psycho, and everything that happened in the whole entire relationship was all their fault, or if they, you know, fuck that bitch or whatever, especially if they have children that are still in this game, I don't want to be in that drama. I don't want anything to do with that drama. And I don't want to be their next ex, right? Like, I always ask people what their relationship is with their ex, whether they have kids or they don't. And I want to know this because I want to know how they treat people when it doesn't work out. Because I don't want to get in to a relationship that's all perfect and fine until it's not, and then it becomes some kind of crazy psycho mess. I don't want to be in anyone's crazy psycho mess. I don't like drama. I like watching TV on Tuesday nights. I mean, what are you doing on Tuesday nights? Like, to me, that's a question for rhythm, you know? How's your co-parenting relationship? Like, if you need mediators to communicate with your ex-spouse, that to me is a red flag. And I'm going to believe that red flag. You are the next ex. If he is treating his current ex with disdain, contempt, violence, hatred, talking shit about her to their children or whatever it is he's doing, you're the next ex. So beware. Beware. Don't ignore that. Pay attention to that. Look for the same. Let's go with an honest accounting of background, culture, etc. So I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in the Mormon church and they strongly encourage you to date someone of your own faith. God, I thought this was horrible and unfair. And I know a lot of cultures want people to marry within their own religion or race or class. And I thought this was awful. And then I got married to someone who had no context for where I was coming from. In terms of worldview, culture, background. And I had no context of his worldview, culture, and background. Now, we didn't have it nearly as bad as some couples because, you know, we were both white middle-class kids or lower to middle-class kids. So it wasn't like a huge caste difference. But this religious thing was a way bigger deal than we thought it was going to be. Way bigger, because when you get down to like the creation story and how redemption occurs and how you individually work that out within your soul and yourself and your systems, that is a pretty fundamental thing. And we didn't quite realize that, especially if you're going to have children with a person. I don't think we understood that difference. Like, I was never, I was never down with the, you're a sinner, original sin, you must be saved from your own existence because humans suck theology. Like, I don't get it. I never got it. I went to his church for 3 years when we got married because I could not understand where he was coming from. He, however, felt no need to understand that. None whatsoever. He did not need to understand where I was coming from because he was right and I was wrong and I should just get it together, right? I mean, that's how it should go. Things like this, they are challenging. All right, I'm not saying don't date anyone outside of your religion or culture or race. That's silly. Of course we're going to do that. And of course we should do that. And we're all one tribe and we're all equal and love is love and we should, you know. But I am saying that it matters more than you think it's going to matter. His or her family dynamics matter. The way power works in the family dynamics, in the cultural dynamics, in the religious dynamics matter, right? The fundamental religious issue is that there's a huge difference in expectations and behaviors and restrictions on different genders, right? Men are given all the power, authority, decision-making, you know, profit, motive, power over money. And the woman is supposed to submit to her man and be the child caretaker. That's basically the description of every religion on earth in varying degrees. That's going to matter, right? Even if he declares himself a feminist, it's going to be there in the background. This needs to be fully explored. The other person's culture brings with it gifts, and also it brings the dark side as well. Like, if you are dating someone and you know that there is going to be a real issue with their culture, their background, it's okay not to go through with that. Like, that's not racist to not want to involve your whole life into this culture that isn't yours, this background that isn't yours, this huge giant hurdle that isn't yours. I know it's so romantic to think that you're just going to marry into this, you know, other fundamental faith family and things are going to be cool because you both don't really believe that. But I'm here to tell you that you need to take note, pay attention, because it's going to slip in subconsciously. It's going to be there. So pay attention because it could really, 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 really matter down the road, especially if you have kids. Especially if you have kids. Because, yeah, you do develop relationships with the other person's family. One thing I really cherish about my family, actually, my big extended family, is that there is such a closeness there that my aunt is still my aunt. I like to not be a niece to my aunt, even though she and my uncle are divorced, to me seems insane. My ex-husband, we were divorced, and my grandmother would have been crushed had he not come and sat with the family at her funeral. At Thanksgiving, she made him stay and peel potatoes. Like, there are beautiful things, and then there are things that are so much a part of us, we can't intellectualize them enough to not operate from them subconsciously. There, I'll say that. And that's something you should be aware of. And you should see the whole picture. And you should look at the whole picture and be honest with yourself about how much challenge you want to involve in your relationship before moving forward. Because it does not make you a bad person to go, you know what? I can't do that. I mean, there are all kinds of religions I won't date. Trump voters, I won't date. Evangelicals, I won't date. Mormons, I won't date. And it's because I already have enough of that in my history to understand what the fundamental conflict is. It's a disparity in power and gender and roles. And I'm not interested in that. it's an extremism and I'm not interested in that. And so it's okay to say stuff like that because, as I said, you're not being judgmental as in this person cannot be my friend or shouldn't have their own rights. You're being, hey, I'm not down with this and I already been to this party and I know what is there and I'm not doing it. Love is not all you need. You need compatibility. Number 10. And this one basically is encompassing in everything I've already said. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Like, whenever I'm watching these ridiculous coaching programs from these dudes who don't have great relationships, who haven't had long-term commitment relationships, telling women why they can't find committed relationships, like, why would I listen to you, A? And B, why would I be looking for someone like you? C, but their gag is to get dates. That is not the goal, right? Quantity of dates is not the goal. Quality of partners is the goal. So you don't want to attract everyone. You only want to attract the people that are going to be good for you in your life. To do that, you have to tell the truth about who you are, right? If you're pretending that you're somebody that you're not, you're going to end up with a really bad partner for you. Now, a bad partner does not mean a bad human being. I have dated a lot of really nice guys, a lot of really good guys. I've dated some dicks, for sure. Some arrogant assholes, for sure. But a good person does not make a good partner. To find a good partner for me, I have to show up as me. That goes back to know myself. If I don't know myself, I can't show up as me. If I show up as Jeremy's ex-wife, I was Jeremy's wife. If I now show up as Jeremy's ex-wife, I'm going to attract a totally different person than I am showing up as Tracy Sue, who has figured out who she is and what she wants and what's going to work for her and what's not. I'm going to show up as Tracy Sue, who's done the work and understands her fundamental, basic, profound needs. I mean, on my dream board, I literally have put a circadian rhythm that matches mine. Like, we're talking about compatible details here. I went to bed every night by myself for 12 years because he was a night owl and liked to stay up drinking beer and watching TV. And had shit to do in the morning, and so I went to bed at 9 and woke up early. He liked to communicate at night. I liked to communicate in the morning. It sounds like this is minor, but it's not, because it happens every fucking day of your life for year on end, and it becomes a real big deal that you don't even have an optimal time to have a conversation and communicate. At night, I was so tired and frazzled from parenting all day that I couldn't even functionally have a conversation. He was so tired and groggy in the morning, he couldn't functionally have a conversation. I mean, just the circadian rhythm. Just the bedtime and wake up rhythm. It's a big deal in terms of compatibility. Because I don't want to go to bed every night. Like, I seriously have turned down dates from guys who say that they don't go to bed until 1 o'clock in the morning. Nope, not going to work for me. Sorry, I want someone to go to bed with at night. Like, I want someone to be like, hey, let's go to bed. And then we have a bed night time routine. And maybe we read in bed together. And, you know, my fantasies are pretty small. They're minutiae. Minutiae is the sexy thing about being in a relationship to me. It's those little moments that just happen every single day and the flow and the rhythm of family life and, you know, keeping house together. I love that. Like my happiest moments are kind of when me and the kids are all cleaning the house together. And we're doing it on Sunday night because we want Monday to go well. And it's just a prep thing. And it's just something we do. And every night at 9 o'clock, we all just kind of know that it's time to turn our, you know, electronics off, take showers and go to bed, right? The rhythm. I love that rhythm. I cannot have someone come into my life who's got a completely opposite rhythm, right? Who's going to jam it out on his guitar at 11 p.m. That's not going to match what I'm looking for. It's not compatibility. It's not a judgment on who that person is to judge whether that person is a good partner for me. And in order to do that, I have to tell the truth about myself and face the truth about the other person. Because I'm not looking to waste more time. I'm not looking to have more fights or arguments or broken hearts. I'm kind of tired of broken hearts. I'm tired from broken hearts. on your dating profile, tell the truth. On your dates, tell the truth. If you're not interested in someone, just tell them. That's the kindest thing to do. I think that's the biggest thing I want to convey is truth is kind. I've had men text me and say, you know what, this just isn't for me. I consider that a kindness because I've also had men who told me they wanted to be with me forever, then never talked to me again. That was extraordinarily unkind. Very, very unkind. Balls up and be kind enough to tell the truth. If a man texts me for a second date and I'm not interested, I am not mean to him, but I am kind enough to tell him the truth. And I very much appreciate it when a man is that kind to me. Be who you are. Know who you are. Know what you need. Know what your patterns are. And then go out and be that person. Put your best foot forward. Sure, I get dressed up on dates, but I wear things I would normally wear. I mean, I wear the sundress that makes me feel good, but it's also the sundress that I would wear to go out with friends. Or actually me, I hang around the house in sundresses all the time. You know, like put your best foot forward, but show up as yourself, not their fantasy. Because if you're trying to be something that you're not going to be able to maintain that over time. Eventually, you're just going to be who you are. And now you're married to someone who expects you to be someone else. That's not his bad. That's your bad if you showed up as someone else. And vice versa, I'm not looking for someone to be like my ideal whatever. I'm looking for someone who is the perfect match for me. And after 7 years, I still haven't found it. But I also have saved myself some pretty serious heartbreaks. I'm not married, not because there's no one to marry. I've had offers. I could be married right now if I wanted to. But love is not all you need. There's compatibility here. And I know myself enough to know that I'm not going to be happy if I'm in a bad relationship. Like, God, if you've ever been in a bad marriage, the idea that you would go into one... without getting real honest about compatibility should scare you worse than being single. I mean, I want to be married. I would love to be married. I like marriage. I think it's the minutia, the rhythm, the security, the just, hey, babe, the, you know, texting back and forth. How you doing? What's your day? Like, hey, this just happened to me. Man, that's the thing I miss most. Like, I don't think of marriage as one long date. Like, just thank God, because dating is, well, mostly it's boring. That's the thing. I've been on some real bad dates and I have some entertaining stories, but the majority of time dating is just boring. You're just talking to a person that you don't really have that much in common with, or that is boring. And I can't tell you how many dates I have been on where the man hasn't even asked me what I do for a living. Like, literally not even asked me. Because he's talked about himself for 2 fucking hours. And then he asked me out again. Oh, that was a great date. I had such a great time. Yeah, you had a great time because I let you talk about yourself for 2 hours, but you don't have a single idea about who I am. So this isn't about me. So no, I'm not going to go out on a date with you. You're not interested in me. You're interested in you. Yeah, I've met you, you narcissists. So, my loves, I'm not going to tell you how to go out there and have the best marriage possible, because I'm still looking for that myself. But I will tell you that you can save yourself a hell of a lot of heartbreak if you do these 10 things when you're out there dating. Now tomorrow, my friend Andrea and I are going to go to Denver and we're going to do a tantric speed date event. Yeah, I've never been to one, but I got to get back out there if I want to get married, right? I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to wear my favorite sundress and put on some red lipstick and wear pretty mascara and put my best foot forward, but I'm definitely going to show up as myself. And I'm definitely going to be using my filters to determine whether I should waste my time with any of these people that I meet tomorrow. And fingers crossed, maybe this time will be the one where I find my love and we make a life together. Because I'm pretty tired of doing life alone. I'd love to do it with somebody, but not at the cost of more heartbreak and misery. I'd love to hear about your filters and your must-haves and your absolutely fucking nots. So shoot me a message. Find me at TracySue.com and you can subscribe to the podcast there. You can also find me on all the social media, and I'll see you next week.
Hey guys.
The other day I was talking to my friend Andrea. She's the owner of LaunchGrowJoy.com, which is this big publicity site. She helps you get publicity for products that you're trying to sell. Anyway, I was telling her about my launch of the Year of Yes and how I had spent so much time trying to find phone numbers and addresses and emails for celebrities so I could send them my book. So I wanted Elizabeth Gilbert to read it. I know. Of course, I wanted it to be on Oprah. So I spent all this time researching, and I even had my assistant, I paid her to research a whole bunch of information for me. And I created a list of, like, I think I had 15 or 20 people that I wanted to send my book to. And you know I was doing this because, well, for one thing, who doesn't want Oprah to be proud of them? And who doesn't want Elizabeth Gilbert to be like, oh my God, this book is just like mine, a huge world-changing spiritual memoir. Okay, fine. But also, I know, and you know, that if you can get a celebrity to put their proud of you symbol on something that you've made or something that you're selling, it could really change everything. And Andrea had told me this because she had gotten her t-shirts on celebrities when she had a t-shirt business. So like Denise Richards wore one of her t-shirts and it was really exciting, but it actually really did help her business too. And she tells me, well, there's a website called anycelebrity.com. And for $47 a month, you can research any celebrity's contact information right there. They've already done all the research for you. It's unlimited celebrities. And it's one of the ways that I tell my clients to go out there and get publicity. That's what she told me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I would have saved so much time, so much energy, and so much money if I hadn't had to pay my assistant for all of that research. And I just wanted to share that with you. I wanted to share it with you because when I find cool stuff, I like to share it. So I'm going to give you the information so you can try that if you have a book or a product, jewelry, or a pair of wonderful shoes that you make. I would love to see you get the most publicity out of that. And we all know that influencers are the way to go. So that's TracySue.com/star. You can find that at TracySue.com/star. TracySueX.com/star. And let me know how this works because I am super excited about this new option. Oh, and also, I don't think I mentioned this before, but you do get 7 free days if you just need it for that one launch week. Okay, I'll talk to you later.